If we can set the scene right now, I feel like this is the way that like a romantic date for Love Island would start. Right? You know, where they've kind of got the table set up and they both arrive and they sit down and then they kind of start talking. I feel like if there was a camera, like about 2 meters away, that's what this would be capturing. So, you know, the sun is out, the birds are tweeting.
They are.
Instead of the bottle of fizz, we have cups of coffee and Peak District mugs.
Yeah.
I've even put a rough kind of tablecloth down for you, Anna. And we're in my garden.
And it's just exquisite.
I think this is a, you know, compared to some of the places we've recorded a podcast, this is quite romantic.
We're up a notch. We really are. You're up in your game.
I mean, thanks. Anna's got a new hairdo. So I thought that we might need to, like, you know, posh up a bit.
Is this a celebration of my new hairdo?
It is, yes.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. So today you find us sitting in much more exquisite surroundings. And we hope that will be reflected in the exquisiteness of the conversation that is about to unfold, where we try and remain relatively serious about a few things, but also have a little bit of fun too. So welcome to Summer World Podcast. Cue the ukuleles. So how are you with commitment then, Anna?
Am I with commitment?
I mean, you're doing pretty well, I'd say, in terms of the relationship front.
Good at commitment on relationships, not good at commitment in other things.
Oh, really?
I'm quite fair weather.
Are you?
Yeah. Like, I was thinking yesterday when I looked in my bathroom cabinet, when I found 7 different bottles of face toner, but I don't commit. Do you know what I mean? I'm not one of those people that, you know, sticks to the brand. I like quick fix. I like instant glory. And if it doesn't give it to me, I move on.
Isn't that interesting? You know, because then we kind of turn that on. Like, weight loss journey, you know, a lot of us kind of like sign up again with Slimming World. We pay the join up fee and then we kind of almost make that public commitment of I'm paying $4.95 every week or whatever it is at the moment if you're still doing Zoom groups. And then you're going to turn up every week. It's a weekly commitment to, and you're kind of saying to other people, this is what I want to lose this week. This is what I'm going to do about it. This is my plan.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to get a bit sidetracked sometimes.
Or get scared.
That's true.
I get scared. Like, what if I commit to this and it doesn't work? So actually, sometimes it's easier not to commit because then you don't worry if it goes wrong.
Oh, yeah, the old fear of failure creeping in.
Yep, totally. But it's interesting how when you look at your life, things that you're really committed to and then other things that you want to be committed to but you haven't quite got that. Like, I'm fiercely committed to my job, but I'm not as committed to my housework. Do you get me? Like, don't you ever wish you could transfer that commitment that you've got in other things? But you are very different because you go, I'm going to do it, and you do it.
I'm quite stubborn in that. Yeah. But I think what we're finding, and particularly as we're kind of doing these episodes like about fear and stuff, and we're hearing from other people how often people can be very dedicated, committed in other aspects, like you can nail a business. You know, for me, I could nail a business. If I needed to go and earn X amount of money, I would just go and do it.
Yeah.
But when it came to, you know, finding the right person to love, finding, you know, a kind of manageable lifestyle of how I could maintain weight loss.
It's different.
I fell over every time.
Yeah.
So commitment comes in many different things. And I think you're right, how you transfer it in different places.
I think commitment's quite easy when something's prescriptive, when you don't necessarily have to, if someone tells you to do it and you can do it and you can get the outcome, that's easy. But with food and weight loss, I think the emotion comes in so much that it makes commitment waver. Mm. You know, like if you had to learn, like, I look back at school and times tables and adding up, and actually they told me how to do it so I could do it. You know, it took practice. But then when left to my own devices, I'm not always that good.
Yeah.
Because I can put my own spin on it.
Well, this is a subject that we're going to talk about on this episode. We're going to go into that kind of question of just how committed are you? And you're going to have to forgive us because we're outside. Obviously, we're still socially distancing and there's all kinds of things happening in the periphery around us. My neighbours, you know, doing their washing and probably people might be drilling or lawnmowering. So you're going to feel like you kind of sat.
You're with us.
In the garden with us. So please forgive us that. But hopefully you'll be able to hear us. I mean, gosh, the other week when we recorded that episode and the chainsaw lawnmower that was doing the side of the fence. This is the things, like, because for ages we, you know, if you're quite new to the podcast, we always recorded outside and we never had so many issues. And then we kind of switched to Zoom. So many of you might only be used to hearing us on Zoom
when we're locked down.
And now we're kind of back outside. It's like we've got to, you can't edit life. As much as I'd like to, as a podcast producer, I cannot edit life.
You couldn't even edit my stomach then.
No,
did you hear my stomach rumble?
Yeah, we were recording silence and Anna's stomach rumbled, which is ironic for a Slimming World podcast, isn't it?
Isn't it just? I'm not hungry though, it just rumbled.
Okay.
There's a difference. Do you not find that?
Well, it's doing its job. It's, your metabolism is alive.
It's your duodenum squirting your food, breaking down in your gut with acid. That's
beautiful.
What that sound is.
Can you spell that?
No, don't be stupid. I can barely spell my own freaking name.
So, welcome to Slimming World Podcast. You can email us any questions that you have, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Please subscribe if you're on Apple Podcasts or follow if you're on Spotify. You can rate and review us if you wish. And we're on Instagram @slimmingworldpodcast. So this subject kind of just sprang out of nowhere because I think we kind of finished last week saying we don't actually know what we're going to do next week. And sometimes we need a little bit of space. Sometimes we kind of plan several weeks in advance and other times we're like, we're not sure. Let's just keep an open mind. And something happened in the last week which affected both of us and made us really stop and think. Mm. And we had to check whether we're okay to talk about this, and we've kind of checked with the relevant people, I suppose, is one way to put it, that we can. And we're all about sharing our lives and what's real. And so, yeah, it's quite difficult to kind of find the right words to explain this. But one of our friends passed away last week.
Yeah.
And it really shocked us.
It's rocked my core. It really has. It's really just unfair sometimes, isn't it, life? I think that's what got to me. And it's such a shock. And to lose someone so young and so special, I think it got me in a way I didn't expect it to, you know.
Yeah, so her name is Caroline. And would you want to explain? So we've kind of chatted with Caroline's family to make sure that
yes.
we kind of used the right words to describe
yeah.
what's been happening.
So gorgeous Caroline, I've known for many, many years, and she suffered from an illness called pulmonary fibrosis, and it meant that she had to have a double lung transplant back in March, and she recovered from that, really, you know, was out of hospital, was doing really well, life was looking so good for her. I remember she rang me just as she was going into hospital for the transplant, and I didn't answer the phone because I was in a meeting, and she just left me a message saying, I've got it, I'm going into my transplant, I'm so excited, I'm so scared, but, you know, I'm going to get my life back. And very sadly there were some complications, and after being in hospital for just under a week, I think, she sadly passed away last week. And it's just so devastating for the fact that she was on that road, she got the transplant that she'd been waiting for, and then she's been cruelly taken away from something that she just couldn't control. So her family are astounding. Her mum, Val, is just incredible, because she's just said, don't be sad, don't cry, let's celebrate Caroline, because that's what Caroline would have wanted. Because those of us that knew her, she was a very quiet girl on the surface, but underneath it, she was a little firecracker. And she would have just been like, please don't mope about over this. Please don't be sad about this. Just take something from it and learn and, you know, celebrate me. So that's what I intend to do.
Yeah. The thing about, so that we could probably explain how we know Caroline is through Slimming World.
Yes.
And that's where we kind of bring this back, because we kind of thought, right, what can we take away with what we learned from Caroline?
Mm.
You know, her dedication, her commitment to her journey was real. I mean, how many buses did she take to come to your group?
I mean, it was astounding because Caroline had a few health complications and, you know, she was very honest about her mental health problems and her physical health problems. And, you know, she moved, what, it must have been by bus, 3 or 4 buses to get to me at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. You know, she'd leave home at 6:30 in the morning. She was so dedicated, even when she was so unwell and you could see her not breathing well, she would get to Greenwich. She'd always have all these bags that she'd lug around.
She'd go to work or sometimes she'd have to leave early to go to work. And you're like, you've only come to group for 15 minutes.
Yeah, because she'd have to go and be on a shift and she'd volunteer at places. And she just, no matter what it took, I think the only time Caroline didn't make it to group was either when she was on holiday abroad or she was hospitalised. Like, she would come in all sorts of states and just always be there and always be committed. And she, do you know what inspired me? The scales often wouldn't go away, but she'd always know why and she'd always get on them and she'd always face it. And that was so brave, because there's lots of us that haven't done that. So, I remember one morning I was at group at 6:25 on a Saturday morning. It was pitch black dark and there was a bang at the back door and I was like, oh my God, someone's coming to get me. And it was just Caroline. She was like, I thought you could do with some help. I was like, Caroline, it's 6:25 in the morning, what do you mean? She said, I know how hard you work to do this on your own, so I thought I'd come early.
Aww.
Like, how would, like, she'd been on 3 buses to do that. So, yeah, her commitment was fearless in the way with her weight loss journey. And she had some epic ups and some epic downs with it. But, you know, one of the things her mum and I were chatting about is the weight she got to after her transplant was like, she was so happy. She, like, that, and that's one thing that makes me really positive is that the last time she weighed was her happy weight. So that's something really good that she achieved.
We always knew when she was on it as well, because she was on Instagram and she's one of these people who would take pictures of every meal she had. That was her, like, accountability. Like,
yeah, she loved it.
And I'd always kind of drop her a little Insta DM, like, kind of, are you all right? Because if I hadn't seen any food pictures, we knew that's where, like, I think Twixes were her downfall.
Oh, she loved chocolate. Mm. And she loved carrots. When she was really food optimising, she'd put carrots with everything.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like that kind of dedication, commitment. What it always made me think is, well, sometimes I don't want to get up and go to group. I don't want to go and weigh. But what's my excuse?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we compare.
No.
But it kind of makes you think, my life is so easy compared. We all have our problems and things to go through, but it kind of just made me think, how serious are you really about this? Because would you get 3 or 4 buses? And I don't know whether I would.
I think the difference, the thing that Caroline taught me through her illness, and I've had a touch of this in my life, is I've got one shot at this, and actually I've got to get on with it. And even with her mental health battles, she would get on with it. And sometimes that was really hard just to get out of bed. So I think she had that almost let's seize the day approach that I think when you haven't got adversity sometimes is very hard to grasp, isn't it? Like, that adage, you don't realise what you've got until it's gone type thing. I think that was her philosophy, like, I'm just going to seize it. So I'm channeling my inner Caroline, because I'm just like, you know me, I'm not very fit. I'm not something I like to do, but I've been toying with it, but kind of I've decided to sign up to, like, walk 1 million steps. And, you know, I had Caroline in the back of my mind when I signed up to that, because I used to think, well, if she can get 3 blinking buses, I can walk 1 million steps. So, yeah, I think it's about what I'm going to take from her is that you can go for any challenge and you can overcome it if you want to. And it's sometimes knowing how much you want to do something. And sometimes we don't realise how much we want it until it's maybe slipping away from us, or, you know, until something happens, like you can't get in your jeans, you then realise you want to lose weight.
I mean, like, are you all right? Because, like, you've been pretty honest with us about your health complications. Has it kind of made you kind of think, crap, like, it's there, you know, there's so many things happening in the world right now and you're facing so many different things, like...
I think it's a really tough one. I think what's happened, we've lost a lot of people since Corona hit. And I think what it's given me a little bit of health anxiety, because, you know, my health isn't great, but actually my health isn't something that's going to kill me, if that makes sense as it stands at the moment. But it's just made me a little bit more fearful and all of that, but I've learned how to manage that. So I'm very conscious that I have to look after myself and my mental health. And I find, for me, talking's the best medicine, like literally, like, you know, our last episode when I had a bit of a sob about my dad and all of that and the photos and, you know, my big nostrils. I now, like, I got all the photos out, was showing Daisy all the photos of Dad, and, you know, just talking about that publicly lifted a burden for me that I maybe hadn't recognised was there. So, no, I'm all right, babe. Thanks for checking.
Cool. Because talking about stuff, like, you know, Caroline was one of the first people to listen to our podcast. Mm-hmm. Initially, when we did these episodes, God, it was just before Christmas,
wasn't
it? Oh,
my God, do you remember?
Like, I think we started the podcast 2018, maybe. I can't remember. Anyway, it's a long time ago. It feels like ages, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we put out a few episodes and we thought only our mums would listen.
Not even my mum would listen.
And our group friends. Yeah. And Caroline was one of those people. And
she
loved it. And I remember the message that she sent. And, you know, we get lots of messages from you. And not all of them do we even know you. And each one of those messages matters. But I thought it was very interesting that she appreciated that, she wanted to share with us. Actually, when you said this, I totally felt like I understood what you were saying, and I felt for the first time that I was heard and understood. And you know, as a consultant member with her, you have a different relationship, you know.
Yeah.
Much more intimately.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting, when you start to go to group and you get to know your fellow members, you start kind of getting little glimpses, because often we only go and see each other once a week. Mm-hmm. And it's for not very long, and there's the odd Facebook comment, and they're not necessarily people who I naturally see in my day-to-day life.
Of course.
But then when you kind of start getting to know each other and say, actually, when you said this, that really made me think this, or the little conversations you have after group, when she sent us those messages, it instantly made me feel closer to her.
Yeah.
Like, I feel understood. I feel that we have something, we share something in common about our mental health struggles. And sometimes I would sit next to her when you're busy doing new member talks and be like, how's it going? She's like, it's not a good one. And I'd be like, okay, what can I do?
Yeah.
And as a member, I always kind of enjoyed those conversations most.
So important.
Sometimes more than the group talks that you do, because that's when you truly get to know your community.
Yeah, totally.
And having a ties to your community, I think, as a group, is what keeps you accountable.
And
these people want to cheer for you, they want to cry with you, they want to be there for you, they kind of could say, but remember when he did this, or you said this 6 months ago. And I always felt like Caroline was one of those people that, you know, for the you know, I get on with everybody in your groups.
Do
and
you?
I've been to apart from
that's
you
what she thinks
yeah but, you know, and like,
yeah,
I've
you've been to all of them
yeah apart from the evening ones, and so I kind of know a little bit about everybody. But she was one of the people that when you kind of said that she had passed away, it floored me. I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach.
I think it was that very reason, you know, Caroline, she made an effort with people, and that you don't see that very often. Like, she would talk to people, she would ask them how they were, she would message, she'd remember things, the tiniest little things, you know. But she bought me the most beautiful belt last Christmas, and this belt, if you had to have a belt that summed me up, it was this belt she bought me. And it was like she'd listened to all the little things I'd said. So, you know, I think if there were more Carolines in the world, it would be a better place. But you know, she'll live in our hearts. And I love the fact that she used to recite things I'd say on the podcast. I was like, did I really say that? She was like, yes, this episode. And she'd always give me the time frame. Like, oh God, she'd never forget anything, bless her.
So our love to Caroline's family and friends. So let's kind of reflect on this as a subject then. And that's where I was like, commitment, dedication.
Yes.
Absolutely, in two words.
Personified
that made
me
think. And then that's kind of, this is probably a bit more one of like a journal thinking. We're doing lots of journal-y type podcasts at the moment.
I think in lockdown, I'm doing this a lot more in group. Yeah, and analysing and getting to know yourself. Because I think lockdown's given us a bit more space, I don't know, to kind of reflect on our minds and stuff.
Yeah, so this thing about how committed are you, and it feels quite, you know, we've kind of talked about this quite a lot recently, haven't we? Because I've put a lot of pressure on myself that I've just kind of, in my head, stagnated. But in other people's minds, it might be, actually, look at all the things that have been going on in your life and you've maintained. That's unbelievable.
And can I just say, I've rocked up to your house And have you looked at yourself? She's in Lycra, okay? Lycra.
I've been to the gym this
morning. But you're wearing... But have you seen what you look like?
Well, can I share some with
you? You've got a baggy crotch on your legging as well. You look...
I just demonstrated it's a bit baggy. But I actually finally went and bought some new clothes for the gym.
Thank God.
Because, look at these trainers, they're actually colourful.
We're not going to miss you in the dark, are we?
No, but I just thought, you know, I'm taking it very seriously. I've talked so much and I listened to some old podcasts where I was like, yeah, what I really need to do is nail the fitness. And I've kind of done it and I haven't done it. And the commitment thing is like, how much do you really want it? And I have said to myself, okay, for the next 6 months, 3 times a week,
fab.
I am going to go to a gym that's round the corner. It's going to integrate me to the local area. Mm. I can start to make local friends. And, you know, if at the end of 6 months I still weigh the same, then that's what I am. And I'm going to stop putting pressure on this kind of this number that I'm chasing. So I've just got to, it's a kind of about how do I make this kind of a part of my these habits, this lifestyle, this habits, I think. Whereas I know at other parts of the journey, the commitment has been, there's always an excuse, is what I learned. So in that first year, I lost on average £1 a week, which over the year was just over, well, it was 4 stone.
Mm.
And I was working in hotels, I was working on the road, I was doing night shifts, I was building a business, I was managing therapy, mental health, coming off antidepressants. Everything sometimes really felt like it was against me, but I still did it because I was determined that I needed to tackle this thing. And, you know, often we kind of go to group and say, right, what's coming this week? And we go, oh, I've got one meal out with somebody. And we're almost like, oh, that's the whole week ruined. Mm. But actually, that's one meal out of 21 meals over the week. So what could you do in the other 20 meals to kind of balance it? It all these things that we kind of know, but sometimes
they leave our mind.
Like self-sabotage is the number one thing that people email us about.
Yeah, it's that... almost that point of that fear comes back, doesn't it? Like, actually, if I try again and it doesn't work, or if this week I go for a meal and I put on weight, well, where does that take me? And I think we get sometimes too much into the minutiae rather than, look at you, Claire, you're in Lycra, you've lost all this weight. Doesn't matter that you might have £8 to go to Target and that number's not, look at what you've achieved. Whereas what your head was doing is, look what you haven't achieved. And the thing I've learned about commitment is it's about little consistent habits. Because I used to be that person, right, I get a personal trainer, I'm going to work out 5 times this week, I'm going to eat nothing but melon and chicken, I'm going to lose a stone in 10 minutes, and it's going to be fine. Then I was disappointed when it didn't happen. So actually, not lowering my expectations, but thinking about realistic expectations was the biggest thing for my consistency. It really, really was. Because like that pound a week that you got, look how it mounted up.
Yep.
That was really... And I think what I know... members aren't great at, I wasn't that great at, is celebrating that it's a pound closer, it's a pound, not I've still got £49 to go, it's a pound off.
Yeah.
And I think that remembering that you have to start somewhere, and that going back to Caroline, that's what she taught me, really, was actually not where I want to be, but at least I'm trying, because if I try, I'm going to get closer to it than if I don't.
Yeah, I could hear that,
which is a hard thing to realise when you've got a lot of weight to lose. Because, you know, if I'd said to you, Claire, you joined, what, three years ago with me? Nearly?
Two and a half.
Yeah, 2.5 years ago. If I'd said to you, Claire, do you know what? It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a lot of sweat. It's going to be a lot of tears. It's going to be a lot of laughter. There's going to be a lot of times where you want to throw your chickpeas at me. Do you know what I mean? You might have quit before you started, but I think you've got to go in just taking it in that little bite-sized chunk, haven't you?
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I guess... For me, what really helped is like thinking about, well, anticipating the hurdles before they turn up. So, you know, we bang on about the Be Delighted book.
And, do you mean this one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You're so on message. She's got all the books. And
I know. Because I knew, you know, it's addling as it gets older.
It's one of those books that I think people often overlook in the pack.
Yes.
And, you know, I know as consultants, you do rabbit on about, when was the last time that you got your pack out?
Rabbit? I've never rabbited on about anything. I might eloquently say to my members.
hopefully suggest. And what I kind of really, although it says with your first 6 weeks, it's something that I've come back to because I think I have a better arc over what is life likely to be like over the next 6 weeks. Like, I know in the next 6 weeks there's a holiday coming up. My family are coming over. Ah. I'm going to see Matt's family. I've got a couple of days where I'm going to be working out all day recording. I'm not always going to be at home now, so that's going to change. So it's starting to kind of anticipate where are those blips going to be, like those meals out or the birthdays. And then kind of sketching that and think, right, well, I haven't got anything on week three, so maybe week three is the week that... That's where I if I want to do an SP week, that's probably going to be where it is.
Yeah.
So, and I think, yeah, when you kind of look ahead and think, right, what could be, and then what processes can I put in place to protect myself? Like, next week, I'm going to be out on the road 4 days a week. So now I'm at home this week. Could I pre-cook a few things, smash them in the freezer, and all I've got to do is just exist and take it out of the freezer?
Yeah. And I think what you said is, do you remember, I think it's episode 81, I'm Stuck, where we looked at the 10 steps.
Episode 81, Am I Stuck?
I didn't really like that episode.
On TX date.
Episode 81. No, only because that episode I've had so many messages about, because it's the 10 steps, isn't it? Where we put in those 10 steps, planning, knowing that you can't always be perfect. I can't remember what the exact words were, but basically knowing this isn't going to be 100% and knowing there will be days where it will go wrong, and that's okay, because I think it's that expectation of perfection that lets us down when it comes to being consistent. Well, if I can't be perfect, I can't do it, therefore what's the point? Well, actually, could you have a breakfast that's brilliant? Could you not go and eat 14 donuts? That's kind of the attitude that I'm trying to approach my life with, so that it doesn't overwhelm me, because I'm very good at getting overwhelmed by it and then dropping it. And it's that, oh no, keep going, Anna, keep going. And celebrating the fact, I didn't eat 14 donuts, I just ate 13. Do you see where I'm at?
Yeah. It's like reframing what commitment looks like to you.
Yeah, because that's bang on. That's what I wanted to say, and I couldn't quite get out of my mouth. But it is that, actually, commitment to me is very different to 10 years ago when I was adamant I had to be a certain dress size. And, you know, it's that forgiveness of my body. It's that, oh, do you know what, it works? It's here. You know, it's that, actually, that scales might not say what you want it to say, but have you made some brilliant changes that you can stick to? 100%. Are you giving your body the best possible shot? Absolutely. It's like you becoming vegan. Like, I'm so astonished and proud of you, because I remember that bench. Do you remember we did the episode in a town centre?
Many benches.
But do you remember we went to a well-known health food shop and we bought the, and you were just embarking on this journey, and I remember
that was the vegan and plant-based episode.
So, do you remember the episode number?
No, but now I think if I listen back to that episode, I'd absolutely cringe, because what I know now, I was clueless.
But you, what I'm saying is, celebrate that, because that's where you started.
Yeah.
And actually, that courage to have a go, you were far more courageous with that than you may be with your weight loss. Does that make sense? Because there wasn't any emotional attachment to becoming vegan. You were just going to try it. Now look where you are.
Yeah.
So maybe approaching it with that kind of way you approach your work, or the way you approach becoming vegan, or the way you're approaching your fitness, you're just going to give it a go. And I think where we come back to with the commitment of weight loss is, a lot of us are all or nothing. We wouldn't see, like your mum says, the chihuahua steps, because in our mind, I've got to fix it today. And if I can't fix it today, I haven't got the physical or mental strength to carry on. And that's been my biggest learning, actually. Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. And even if it's the tiniest thing, you know, I didn't put 14 tablespoons. What's the number 14 about today? I don't know what that's going on. 14 tablespoons of mayonnaise in something. I only put one. You know, I try and turn things on their head.
That's a lot of mayonnaise.
Do you know how much mayonnaise?
14 tablespoons of mayonnaise.
So
Have you got any food on that?
So I used to have four heaped tablespoons of mayonnaise a day.
What?
Right. So that was 60 sins.
All fat?
That was 60
sins. Oh, my God.
I know. Are you judging me? That was 60 sins in full fat mayonnaise. So so a day.
Hang on. 4 tablespoons.
No, heaped.
Heaped.
Yeah.
60 sins.
Yeah, so about 15 and a half. Yeah, just over 15 sins.
But for 4 heaped tablespoons.
Yeah. So can you imagine how many sins? So that 7 days in a week. 6. That's a lot.
That's 2 pizzas.
Exactly. So
How many chocolate bars?
Can you imagine when I went down to the extra light and levelled the tablespoon?
Wow, the weight just fell off just looking at that lack of mayonnaise.
But you know what? There's something in that about the commitment thing, isn't it? Because there's lots of little corners that we often cut. Mm. The heaped tablespoons. They're not measuring it. They're not measuring the healthy extras. Yeah. These little things like kind of creep in. Like you start do it at the start of the plan and then you kind of... Like I've gone back to a food diary the last couple of weeks because I was like... I think I'm probably possibly having a few more sins than I think.
Yeah. Is it true to say?
I mean, some of them I was like, yeah, but it's avocado. It's nuts, fine. It's okay. Yeah. That's a savvy
it's
sin.
Plant based.
Savvy sin.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't mean you can eat 5,000 of
them. It's not like a cake, but it all adds up. Doesn't and then it? I wasn't. And also, I'd have a few nuts and be like, yeah, it's about 20 grams.
It's so healthy.
I was like, 37. Oh my God. I need to considerably reduce my nuts. Easy. Easy. Anyway,
Where were we? Who are we? What were we talking about?
About commitment. Commitment to stay on message.
Anyone that listens to know that doesn't happen. I had a message from a lady who said she'd listened to an old episode, but we were talking about healthy extras, and I used to go into a well-known sandwich chain and get the white bread and the cheese and convince myself that it was the healthy extra. And it is changing things like that makes you realise, actually, I'm changing my commitment in a different way. I'm not lying to myself anymore. Like you with your nuts, me with your white bread.
Or milk in coffee shops. Actually, yes. How many times do we ask, is that semi-skimmed? We're a bit too polite. We're like, oh, just a little.
You were in my head as I went to a well-known drive-through coffee shop and I wanted a coconut latte, a coconut cappuccino. I was like, that's fine, it's a healthy extra. And then I heard you go, it's got sugar in it. It's not the unsweet. I was like, may I have an Americano, please? Black. I hate you, Claire. But it is remembering those things. So I think it's looking at what your commitment is for you, because it's very personal, isn't it?
I've got a little flask out at the moment, and actually when we had this coffee here,
you measured it.
I've weighed 400 mils of my oat milk. It's there, and then throughout the day I'll just top it up, and when I'm going to like co-working offices or out on the road, I take it, because most of the time they don't have dairy-free milk.
Yeah,
and I'm all right, that's fine. But then it also means that I'm not kidding myself about like milk is a slippery slope for me. You know, if you're in an office,
yes.
And actually, I mean, I don't know, maybe this isn't happening as much.
Yeah, I know.
But when in an office, you'd be like, people do rounds. Like,
yes.
In your little table, you'd be like, right, I'm going to make a coffee round. Do you want tea? Do you want coffee? And if someone else makes it, how do you know what milk they're putting in? How much milk are they putting in?
And how many should you drink? When I worked in an office, I could easily drink 15 cups of tea a day.
What?
Yeah. I wish I did that in water, but literally, because it was something to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's social. It's social, isn't it? Because it's a screen break. But when you kind of nail down that question of how committed are you, can you honestly look yourself in the mirror, the accountability mirror, and say, did I definitely measure everything? Did I definitely have what I think I
had?
Think
yeah.
I, yeah.
You know, you said...
Stop kidding yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's a point that all of us need to take on board. Because you know, you said, oh, you know, you do it at the beginning, you level your tablespoons. But do you? Because I think what I see, or I know what I see, is that we can get weight loss just by change. And it's how we start off our journey that sees the end, sees it, how it ends. Does that make sense? No.
Nope.
Should I start that again? It's how you start the journey that will kind of define your end. That's what I meant.
What?
So, right. If you start off not in great habits, so you start the plan not 100%, that's setting you off
then
on the back
doomed.
Foot. No, you're not doomed, but I think it's that commitment, isn't it? Like I'm saying this as someone who used to go and join and get the pack and be like, I'm doing this bit, and I'm not doing this bit. But I'll get a weight loss. Selective.
I've got to say, I come from a different point of view.
Do you?
When I started Slimming World, oh my God, it's nearly 8 years ago now. I have never done a diet before. Right?
It's not a diet, it's a lifestyle plan.
I hadn't done a diet.
Up, yeah.
Shut up in your face. I'd never done anything like that. I'd never weighed. I'd never cooked.
Wow. Yeah.
Really? I had probably a couple of meals. Fish finger sandwiches were my...
That's cooking, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the difference of where I am now to then.
Yeah.
I had no confidence. You know, most of the skills I picked up cooking were just watching housemates and being like, when they weren't out, then trying to replicate it badly. And I had no idea of a composition of how to build a meal, you know, just like a third hit here, that measuring, weighing bread. I had no idea. So to be honest, when I started, it was about just starting.
Yes, of course.
And then over maybe I'd say the first 6 months, I started to kind of take in a bit more information. Initially, it was like, okay, I'm having cereal for breakfast and bread at lunch.
Right.
Let's just do one of those, but what else could I have instead?
It's a hard swap, isn't it?
Listening to people explaining, you know, I couldn't grasp recipe books. Couldn't deal with the stuff online, but hearing people in a group saying, I put a potato with this, this and this, then the next week I'd just try that one meal.
Oh, wow.
So my weight loss wasn't kind of rapid, but it was making these small changes that I probably say then over 6 months to a year. Like, for instance, I hadn't really taken in that the bread that I was eating, whilst I was having two slices of it, and it was the right size, it
was
had
it right
seeds
bread?
And yeah. grain. It was whole grain, not whole meal. So then I changed that. So over time, I built it in. I wasn't one of those people that kind of took the plan and be like, right, I'm going to do it exactly how it is, because it was too much.
But I think what you did is different to what I did. You were like, oh my God, I'm changing my life. I was like, I don't want to do that bit.
I
don't
want to do it. I mean, I still yo-yoed. But
what you were going in with was a much bigger thing.
I had no clue.
Exactly. What I was doing was, well, I don't want to do that bit. You were much more like, I'm making a change. I was like, how can I get a weight loss without doing the plan?
Yeah.
Which is the difference. And that's why I came unstuck, because I wasn't doing those little things, but I believed to myself I was fully doing it. So, you know, your way
of our commitment was different when we started. My commitment was just turn up.
Ah.
Just turn up, learn something, try and adapt it, and you're going to get it over time. And then the weight loss did. You know, the first time I did it, I lost 3 stone, I think, over a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then life changed and it kind of went back on and blah, blah, blah. But
your commitment to just turning up was what got you through the door.
What started, yeah.
Yeah.
My commitment, you know, even I haven't missed any groups, really. It's probably one or two that I've missed. And even when I've done holidays, I've still found a way. Throughout lockdown, my commitment was just turn up. Sometimes I don't always feel like it. Sometimes with Zooms, like last week, I just was not in the right zone. So I just turned my video off, but I was present and I was absorbing, I was listening, and I was like, if there's just one little thing that I can get out of this, a recipe or someone who says what I'm feeling and then that gives me the motivation to keep going, I'm there.
So how did you keep that commitment to just turn up even when you didn't want to? What kind of led that to keep going? Because there's lots of us, me included, who just like, not going my way, I'm not going. That's what I used to do.
That's what I did before, because initially, I think for me, it started where I went to weigh, but I wouldn't stay to group.
Yes.
Then I wouldn't weigh and I'd book a random last minute holiday. And then before you know it, you just disappeared. And then 4 weeks later, you're like, oh, I just need to go and I'll just pay the rejoining fee or whatever it is to keep my history and I'll get back on it. But you're kidding yourself. And I think what actually stopped me this time was the fear that I'd seen what happens when you don't.
Oh, wow.
And I think probably I'd actually kind of scared myself that I can't go back to that. It was too, life was too painful.
So that was a big enough driver.
And I just thought, I think I'd kind of come to peace with accepting that gains and maintains are part of it.
Yeah.
It's about the learning more than the chasing the numbers, which I'm not always that mindset, but
this morning you are.
I just knew that I need to. And also to be present. I think it changes a bit as well, because as you start to lose more weight and you're a bit more of a long-term member, then at the beginning of my journey, there were things that people said that made such a difference to me. And I think if you're truly part of a community, when you learn and you've grown and you've got knowledge, you have a duty
to share
and help other people who are where you were several years ago. Like, I remember early on in one of my first groups, there was a girl who couldn't cook and she had lost 2 stone. And I was like, hang on a sec, she can't cook, but she still lost weight doing this. That's interesting.
Because that's me, yeah.
Yes, and it just kind of really clicked with me that it kind of made me think, you don't have to be this, like, housewife with an apron, spending 4 hours cooking and then another 3 hours doing all the washing up.
Oh, no.
And then carefully labelling your Tupperware and having a structured plan with details and, you know, nerding out. Actually, that you don't have
that's to.
That's
too overwhelming.
That's if you want to. But you can also do this and just have a jack and potato every night for tea. Make some soup, have the soup every day for lunch. And so that kind of opened my eyes. So I think the commitment was not only to myself, but to
the group.
Others.
Yeah, because that's what solidifies it. And I think when you want to help other people, it makes you turn up, doesn't it?
Well, a lot of the time, I think that weight loss journeys can be quite a self-centered process where we
1000%.
And when you do this online, and I have been an online Slimmer World member, it can be difficult because you're kind of trapped sometimes in your own cycles. And there'll be people listening to this who aren't following Slimmer World at all, but they're just curious about what we talk about generically about health and fitness and weight loss. And that's cool, right? You know, whatever you can take away from these conversations, go for it. But what I found sometimes is the process of in and out, giving and receiving, helped me overall, like, kind of stay a bit more on track and taking out my bubble.
Yeah, I think that's what is so important about group, isn't it?
Well, however, my mum came happening on, like, Zoom the other day because I was at home at the weekend, and so I was like, I just kind of wanted to show her how what happens. And she just wanted to hear your voice.
Aww.
You're like a celebrity to my mum.
Oh, bless her!
I was like, and how's Anna?
Hi.
And
hi, mum.
But she was like, oh, later on we went for a walk. She was like, yeah, and like that lady said on the group.
Aww.
And I thought that's what it's about. Sometimes it's like knowing that you're not alone.
It's that safety net. It helps solidify the commitment because you know there's other people rooting for you.
Yeah.
Like, they want to know how you did last week and they want to hear about it. And I know that I needed that. I needed that support system. Also to have the accountability. But Anna, what happened last week? You said that you were not going to eat 14 bars. Why do I keep saying 14 today? 14 bars of chocolate. What's that about? It's really weird. I think it's because I'm trying not to say 14, so I keep saying 14. That, Anna, I'm checking in on you. That helps with commitment. Because we're very easy to hide when it doesn't go well. I notice this with members, because obviously on Zoom it's very different. Members have to submit their weight to me. And I know on the, so I get weights, you know, 3 times a week. The ones that are smashing it, you know, open my phone at 9 o'clock in the morning and it's there at 5:56 when they've had their week. The ones that are not doing so well, it's like, can I have your weight, darling? Oh, yes, it's 9 o'clock the night before and I haven't wanted to do it. It's that accountability that makes you kind of say, I've got to do it. And if you don't have a support system, I think you can wane quite easily. I don't know if you'd agree.
Yeah. The new app is interesting. Initially, I was like, this is annoying. There's too many words. Like, you just want to submit your weight, right? Just weigh in today, fill that button, because I keep it updated. I like a nice graph.
Oh, really? I'd never noticed.
Yeah. Anyway, but then it asks you 1,000 questions and I was just getting annoyed.
Were you?
It's like, so what's your action plan this week? And I was like, oh, for God's sake. I just want to put my weight and get out. And then
is that because your weight wasn't that great? Is that why you were getting a bit fed up?
No, it was all right.
Oh, okay.
It was fine. But I was just like, oh, just can't be bothered.
You didn't
want to
be talked at.
And it wouldn't let you submit your weight until you put your action plan. I was like, for God's sake. And then I thought about it the other day. I was like, it's my be perfect driver, as my counsellor calls it. And because if I put that I'm going to do this and I don't do it, so if I don't put it, then I can't fail at it. And the thing is, like, when you put what your action plan is, it stays there. So every time you open up the app, it's like boom in
you
your
didn't
face.
Do it. Yes.
And you're like, oh God.
Oh wow. So setting more realistic expectations of yourself and not going for perfection.
Well, the question I think that often springs to my head, and work wise, I just felt a bit overwhelmed the past couple of weeks. I've taken quite a lot of new small projects on, and I just, yeah, overwhelmed was the word. It feels like the word that haunts me constantly. But the question I always say is, okay, what one small thing can I do
yeah.
right now? And it might like be, you know, if you ask lots of different questions like, okay, finances, what one small thing can I do right now? Sleep, what one small thing can I do
Have
right
some.
Now? You know, whether it be work, what one small thing can I do? Food, you know, like, I would like to point out that behind you is a beautiful shed which we built ourselves on Sunday.
This is like a house. This isn't a shed. This is like fully like, wow.
I mean, it took us 10 hours to build the shed. I'm putting that down in my gold body magic.
Totally.
I tell you. But at the end of the day, it was like 9 p.m. Sunday night. And I thought, okay, I want to get a weight loss this week. I'd maintained last week and I was feeling a bit. Ugh. And on Monday, I was due to be working on the road. Working in a co-working office space, and I thought, I've got a choice here. I could order in. I need to eat something. I could order in, but then tomorrow I won't have any dinner, and then I'll have to go out to get something.
Yeah.
So then that's a lot of sins tonight and a lot of sins potentially tomorrow. I can't control it. Or I could just push myself for another 30 minutes now, do a big tray bake, and I just ended up making like a free food bacon risotto. And I just put it together, and there were four portions.
Gorgeous.
And so I knew I had it, you know, our tea that night, and
well
also
done.
Something for Monday. And that, those small things, I kind
Celebrate.
Of woke up the next morning and thought, I'm proud of myself for
you
that.
Should be.
Because those small things are really, when you're on it, when you're committed, and if that is what lifestyle changes, you know, I'm often lazy. I get a bit bored.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've got all the right things in, I've got the right intentions, but I don't follow through. And I thought, here is a clear fork.
Yeah.
I either take the time now, although I'm exhausted and I want nothing more than a hot shower and my bed. But then it's going to catch up tomorrow. And it's a bit like, you know, when you go out and you're smashing it on the town and like you're having like the vino and
don't
then you have the chips, cheese, mayonnaise and the kebab and you wake up in bed with like
with
some random burger wrapper.
I wondered where you were going to go there.
Easy. And you still got the clothes. Sometimes I have my shoes on. I was like,
oh, yeah,
wow.
And the makeup smeared.
Yeah,
yeah,
and so you haven't taken your makeup off. And then the next morning, you feel absolutely rank, so you heat up the leftover hamburger and then you go and have like a pizza or a Domino's or whatever, and that, so then it's like, not only have you drank, you've eaten a load of crap food, and the next day, and it's like that's a clear fork, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
okay, before I go out, I'm gonna get some kind of fake away food ready for me when I get home. And then in the morning, I'm going to already have cooked my breakfast.
Exactly.
It's like clear thoughts.
It's having that.
Those small things.
And knowing where you're liable to have that wobble is really important. I was talking to a member of mine the other day, and very overwhelmed, like you said, and I just said, let's look at one thing. She's like, what do you mean? I said, what one thing can you do this week? She's like, porridge. Have porridge every morning. And just saying she was going to have porridge has changed her week, because it was just building on that success. Like I often talk about the little bricks of Lego, build on them. Celebrate that. Actually, I had porridge. You had mushroom risotto. Because I used to do that with the takeaway. You'd order the takeaway because you couldn't be bothered to cook. You'd wait 45 minutes for the takeaway when you could have cooked it, washed it up, and been back in your bed.
Yeah.
And it's getting to know yourself. I think if I had to give one piece of advice to someone starting their slimming journey, get to know yourself. Get to know your wobbles. Get to know your strengths. Build on the strengths and plan for the wobbles.
Anticipate.
Yeah.
Be realistic. Reframe what the word commitment means to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and celebrate the small wins.
Couldn't put it more succinctly myself, yeah. Love.
I would like to say, actually, that when I said bacon risotto...
Yeah, did you see me look at you?
Yeah, it was like bacon bits.
Oh,
okay. Like,
bacon-free
fake
bits.
Bacon.
I was like, yeah. I don't want to call her out on the podcast.
But I'm getting better now, working out the vegan protein sources that are free food. I'm just having to get much better in the supermarket. There's more and more stuff on the app, which is
it's
brilliant.
Really, yeah.
And helping.
I think what you've really shown is that you have to, if you are trying to lose weight and you know, having a vegan diet, you have to work a little bit harder if you don't know anything, don't you?
Yeah. So hope that has helped.
We're so inspiring. We're both like, oh, that was quite knackering. Don't know why.
You always vavavoo me up though, like,
do I?
Yeah, I like seeing you, because it's like, yeah. Saturday mornings on the Zoom afterwards, I'm like, yeah. Like after the Zoom last week, I was not feeling cool at all.
I was worried about you.
But then I went to the gym and I kind of knew that I just needed to...
It was when you turned your screen off, I was like, oh God, Claire's turned her screen off.
I was also like kind of cooking my breakfast and putting my gym gear on.
I don't know if it's very interesting to see when the week's going well for people, their screens are on, they're up, they're excited. And on the weeks, like last week was a week I saw in all my groups was a little bit of a dip. I was like, how many faces have I actually got on the screen today? We're going to have a shot when we get back into real group. Do you know what I mean? We're going to have to wear clothes to weigh and show our faces and get dressed. It's a little bit of a worry, if I'm honest.
I know. Right. Well, that's us rabbiting on today. Next week we're talking about food, actually. We're going back to basics. One of the most popular episodes that we ever did was talking about speed food, so we've decided to revisit this as a lot of people want to know a little bit more and be a bit more curious. And we've talked a lot about your head, so we're on about food now.
Yeah,
we need to
more.
Get back to food.
Yeah.
I'm hungry anyway, so I'm going to go make us a little snack. And you go do what you're doing. Be committed. Stay true to yourself. I'm trying to think of some...
Channel your inner Caroline.
That's a great way to finish. Yes. Have a great week. See you next week.
Bye for now.